Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. You have won the victory.
Amen, amen. Good morning. Welcome to the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast as part of the Fivefold Ministry. I am Minister Michael Gray. Our outreach number is 804-313-7853. Our email is goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. I'd like to take the opportunity to thank Apostle Mercer for having us on her broadcast. And we pray that someone will receive a word that will help them with the trials and tribulations that life sometimes brings. Amen. Our scripture title this morning comes from Matthew 14:25-31. The title, Abandoned Ship. And it reads, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was calmed down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou a little faith, wherefore did thou doubt?" The book of Matthew is written by Matthew. It is said to be written around 70 CE, which means common era, which means in the year of the Lord. Matthew was a tax collector. He would be held in high esteem. We find that at the time, the book of Matthew, the temple of Jerusalem was destroyed because of baseless hatred. This comes to tell us that the sin of baseless hatred is equivalent to the three severe transgressions: idol worship, forbidden sexual relation, and bloodshed. When the disciples first see Jesus coming at them, they mistake him for a ghost. They had spent the whole night thinking they were going to drown. Now a ghost shows up. Things immediately go from bad to worse. Have you ever been in a situation where things go from bad to worse? Have you ever thought about something all night long and you prayed about it and you thought about it, but you still had doubt whether you're going to make it through that thing or not? The first thing that we must do is abandon the boat. We dispel our disillusionment because our head can make the problem that we face worse than it really is. Once we begin to think about it, and we let the problem get attached to our soul, the problem seems to be bigger than what it really is. We are masters of creating events in our minds and not trusting Jesus but worrying ourselves to death. We say that we trust Jesus. We say that we give it all to him, but yet we worry about it. But if we're going to worry about it, if we're not going to trust Jesus, why give it to him? We must know the person of Jesus so we are not caught of God when he appears before us, caught off guard. If we know we have a relationship with the Lord, he shouldn't catch us off guard. We get caught off guard because we really don't spend enough time with him and we really don't know who he is. So when he appears to us, we seem to get startled because we've never seen anything like that. He's calling us into a relationship where we know each other on a personal basis. It's not about the people around you. It's not about where you go to church. It's about you and God getting that intimate time. We will only know Jesus through a personal relationship. How do we identify Jesus if he's our Savior? How do we identify him? Is he our Savior? Is he our Lord? Is he our friend? Before we can attempt to abandon the ship, we have to know who he is and what he is to us. We as Christians are on a boat. The wind is raging. The thunder booms. The lightning cracks. And the waves pound. There's a storm. Will we become distracted? Or will we become afraid? We're going to come up with some against the storms in our life that aren't always going to be a pleasant ride. Sometimes the boat that you're on will rock and rock and rock almost to the part of where you think it's going to capsize. This is where we have to trust Jesus and his word. This is where we have to have that relationship to know that he's going to bring us through no matter what. The thought of things that look as it is will overtake us, will cause us to turn from Jesus, the source of our power and strength. Sometimes we get an optical illusion of things. We get the thinking that things are much bigger. But I come out this morning to tell you that nothing is bigger than Jesus. Nothing is bigger than he is. Power. He gives us power and he gives us peace. At times we are more focused on the problem rather than the power. When we are in this state, we sacrifice our connection with Jesus. When we have one foot in and we're straddled, we're not connected to Jesus. But when we know who he is and we know what he can and what he will do, we shouldn't have a problem. Jesus' power is much greater than any problem that we will face. When our problems take our attention away from Jesus, then we settle for lesser power. When we are drawn away from Jesus, we'll settle for anything that will cause our problem to dissolve, to be removed. Sometimes we settle for the thing that the enemy gives us. We'll settle for it because there's our way out. I want to let you know this morning that every easy way out isn't a good way out. There are times that we get involved in things that are considered subtle things, not knowing if it's God's will for our lives, not knowing that these things carry us from their main focus, which is Jesus. The things that we involve ourselves in, are we needed there all the time? A lot of things that we get involved in, we don't really need to get involved in because a lot of it carries our focus. We forget all about Jesus. We forget all about that, and we go on doing things that we think is adding to the kingdom. But is it really added to the kingdom? Is that really his will for you? These are the questions that we have to answer before we say yes. There are times we get busy even to do the will of God. We have to get busy doing the things that Christ has for us to do. There's a lot of souls out here that's lost. And we are supposed to be disciples. Do we get out and do the work that God has called us to do? Or do we sit in our comfort zone and we wait, hoping that those that are broken, busted, trust, and can't be trusted, we sit and wait, hoping they will come to us? We have to come out the boat. We have to abandon the ship to get out and do his will. Why isn't Jesus our resolution to our problems, not our last resort? At times we seem to use Jesus as our last resort. We'll call on everybody else, but we won't call on the name of the Lord. We'll go all around the wrong path. We'll take the wrong road that leads us on a long way around, all just to get back and realize there was a shorter way. When we're in trouble, when we're in the storms of life, Jesus has to be our first resort. We have to call on his name and ask him to step in and help us through our process. He can't help us if we don't tell him, if we don't reach out to him and let him know what we're going through. The storms of life, they're going to come. We know that. As long as we're here on this earth, there are going to be things we're going to have to deal with. And a lot of the things that we have to deal with, we don't have a clue how to fix it. But when we stop and we give God his glory and we give God his due, he's a fixer-upper. He's a heart fixer. He's a mind regulator. He's your bridge over troubled water this morning. Jesus may not come when we want him. He may not do what we want or follow every direction, but he cares for us. Just because we call on him and he doesn't show up immediately doesn't mean that he doesn't care. He might not give us a brand new car. He might not give us a mansion on the hill. Not because he doesn't want to, but maybe we don't need that. He might not follow our directions, but we should follow his because he knows the ins and outs of our lives. He knows what we need to do. Jesus may not remove the problem in your life, but he will show up and help you walk it through. He will show up on time. Somebody needs to know that he will show up when you're going through. The problem may still be there, but he will help you through. We have to realize that all we need is Jesus. When we come to the realization that all we need is Jesus, what a better life we'll live. But I've come to realize that everything doesn't come easy. Some things we have to work for and work at. We might not see it from the beginning. We might not see it right away. It might take some time, but we have to realize that he's for us, and he's better than the whole world against us. It doesn't matter the storm that we're in. All that matters is that we have Jesus. It doesn't matter what storm you're going through. It doesn't matter how hard the winds blow, how hard the rain falls. As long as you're locked in a relationship with Jesus, you can make it through. When we come into his presence, we can't remain the same. If you don't have an action with Jesus, something about us has to change. There's no way we can continue to go on doing the same things that we've always done. There's no way we can be the same person that we've always done. I know change, people don't like to change, but sometimes change is the best thing that could ever happen to you. I'm not telling you something that I don't know. We have to put our trust, not faith in God, knowing that he's going to get the best out of our lives. He's going to get the glory out of our lives. All we have to do is give it to him and and tell him that we need him. Telling him that we need him isn't hard, but we are so like a peculiar person. We don't want to admit that we need the Lord. We don't want to admit that we have troubled times. We don't want to admit that the storm here is kicking my behind, and if I don't soon get some help, I'm not going to make it. We have to be honest and tell him. He needs to hear from us. He needs to hear from our voice, not for us to sit around and wait that like something's going to fall into the sky, because it's not. We will see him do incredible things. What incredible things have you seen Jesus do in your lifetime? What has he done that caught you in awe, that left you in awe, that helped you believe that he is who you say he is? He will defeat your distractions. Every obstacle that's put up in your way to block you, every stumbling block, God is going to remove it. He destroys doubt. We shouldn't doubt God. We shouldn't, because we have to realize that he put the breath in our bodies, and he will be the one to take it out. So the Bible tells us that he has all power in his hands. He is more powerful than you and I. So there's no reason we should look down or believe that he won't do a thing, because he will. He'll do it just for me and you. When we have did all these things, we will increase our faith. When we are right where we need to be, our faith increases, that we don't feel that same way anymore. We look at things a whole lot different. Little things don't seem to rattle us anymore. We have that assurance that Jesus will see us through. Our trust, we will trust him in the midst of any problem that we deal with. We won't have to guess if he's going to come and see about us. We will know. But we have to, and I don't want to repeat, but we have to have that relationship. Because if you don't have that relationship, a relationship is like a foundation on a house. If you have a foundation on a house, you could build that house from the ground up. As long as the foundation is strong, I don't care what storm it faces, the house is going to stand. Now, how do we apply that to our lives? Well, if we have a foundation that's built on the Word of God, no matter what storm blow in or blow out, we will be able to withstand that storm. When we are allowed to withstand that storm, we can stand on that boat, and he will beckon us to come out of the boat, just like he did Peter. Peter didn't think he would be able to walk on the water. He said, "Lord, if that be you, bid me to come." This morning, God is bidding someone to come. Abandon your ship and walk on the water. He wants to heal your problems. He wants to turn your life around this morning. He wants to heal your aches and your pains, Lord. Oh, Lord, speak, Lord. He wants to do that for you this morning. But you have to let the side of the boat go. You have to get up and begin to do what he's calling you to do. He wants that relationship, that he knows you by name and you know him as your father. Oh God, I feel you this morning, Lord. And you're saying, Lord, that somebody's in a storm this morning, God. Oh God. And the storm is raging. And you don't know how you're gonna make it through. But this morning, God is telling you to come out of your boat. God is telling you to reach out and take his hand. He's going to carry you through. Oh, this morning, if there's anyone on this line that needs some prayer, the line is now open. And if you don't, then I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Precious Father, it is us, Lord, standing in need of prayer. Lord, the call came out, and no one came forward. But we realize, Lord, that some of us are in a storm. Lord, we don't know what the day going to bring. We don't even know what the next hour is going to bring. But, Father, we're calling on you this morning to help us through. Oh, Father, we're calling that you would come to see about us this morning. Oh, God, help us weather the storm. Help us, even if we're beaten and battened, Lord, that we're able to still lift our hands, Lord, and say, Lord, we thank you. Father, we pray now that your word will go out, God, and that it will fall on fertile ground this morning, God, that somebody that's in a storm will come forth and say, Lord, I'm in a storm of my life. I'm in a battle for my life, Lord. I need you to come by here and calm the winds, Lord. I need you, Lord, to lower the waves, God, that I may come out of my boat, God, and begin to walk on the water and walk to you where I know I will be safe and secure. Lord, we thank you this morning, God, for your word, God. We thank you for ministering to our hearts, Lord. Oh, Father, we give you all the glory and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we say, amen. Once again, the phone number is 804-313-7853. Email, go teach and baptize at gmail.com. We are a part of the 5-4 ministry with Apostle Mercer. We now turn the program over to Apostle Mercer.
Hallelujah. You have won the victory.
She coming. I was on the line.
You have won for me. Death cannot hold you down.
Hold on, I'm gonna see if Jersey will slip me a bill.
I'm asking everybody to hang up the phone and mute now, because I can hear you on the radio. Please mute your phone as we go into worship. Again, we just heard Jeremiah speak. From 8:30 to 9, I'm asking you to mute your phones. God bless you. Amen.
By his stripes, he was free.
God bless you. God bless you. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. We thank you so much for tuning in with us. You can hear us each week, Monday through Fridays, on the same radio station as well as on Sundays from 9 to 10. Please use the same call-in number Monday through Fridays from 7:30 p.m. to 8 o'clock. I'm asking you at this time to mute your phones or to hang up and to call back in so that you can be a part of the worship service. God bless you, and let's get right into our worship. Amen. Again, for tuning in, you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. We thank you again. We say that we want you to sit back, relax, get your Bibles out, and abase yourself as we listen to a prayer by Reverend Power. God bless you.
The Lion of the Tribe of Judah, he came through 40 and 2 generations to redeem us back to our God. We were lost in sin, we wasn't fitting to live, and we wasn't ready to die. But I'm so glad that every book in the Bible, from Genesis to Malachi and all the way up to Matthew, declares that a Redeemer must come. I heard Genesis calling the seed of a woman, Exodus calling him a Passover lamb, Leviticus calling him a high priest, Numbers calling him a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, Deuteronomy calling him a lawgiver, Joshua said he's the captain of my salvation, Ruth said he's my kinsman, Samuel called him a righteous prophet, the judges called him a holy judge, the king said he's the king of kings, Chronicles said he's the prayer answering God.
Yes, and we thank God for that beautiful prayer coming from Reverend Powell. Truly, we love the Lord, and our God is an awesome God. We love him so much. We ask that you sit back, abase yourself, and worship with us. You know, we always say, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Whenever your Sabbath is, give God your best. Give him your attention. Give him your love. Give him His recognition and grace and power that he is your Lord, he is your Savior, because truly our God is an awesome God. Amen.
My God is awesome. Yeah. God is awesome. The world is full of iconic figures. The people praise him. They stock us up at a high percentage. The giants in our eyes. The sky's the limit. The picture painted is larger than life, but God is bigger. Your God is greater. I weigh them on the scale like rocks and gators. Found that only God can save us. And God is crazy. That's who we flock to. In the day of trouble, it will be blow it like hot food. It's all the trick, so nobody's greater but Shawn Mitchell. You got it right with that song that echoes the heart of scripture. Yeah, they wonder why we so serious. It's because Jesus Christ is also man, period.
Okay, my Jesus, the first verse, the King of Kings, and he's God on earth. My Messiah, born and raised to give us all a second birth. And from heaven, he came down, free all that were bound. Before it went, he fell down, casting down their crown. Saints fell unworthy, Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. So every man, woman, boy, and girl, let's make this declaration around the world.
He's mighty,
he's
mighty. Yes, our God is awesome, and he is mighty. God bless you again. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. We woke up this morning to glorify and to praise God. You know, when you open up your eyes in the land of the living, you should wake up being grateful. Wake up just with God on your mind and say, God, I thank you. I praise you. I reverence you. Oh, hallelujah, that you woke me up in my right mind to glorify you. We want to pray for all the nations of the world. We want to especially pray for the children, for their safety at this time of the year. We just want to glorify him. You know, it's very, very sad, as I was telling you before, that the Lord impressed upon me to pray for the nation of China. You know, it's so many different nations with rumors of wars that we have to keep our brethren in prayer. Keep all the different nations, Africa, Russia, Egypt, this United States, Ukraine, Kyiv. So all of those nations to keep in prayer, because even Thailand, that we want to be able to intercede and give hope to everybody that God can do anything but fail. We love the Lord. We depended on him because through the mercies and grace of God, through the word of God, through the promises of God, that we had the reassurance that God is awesome, that our God is there. Again, we just want to welcome you in and to say this is our disclaimer, that we love the praises of Zion. We love to worship the Lord and to glorify him, that the artists own rights to their music. However, we just try to promote those songs as well as those CDs and encourage you, even in the sale of those music, that it belongs to them, that God has truly blessed those audience, the artists. So when we play their music, we're glorifying God. We are promoting their talents. Let us sit back at this time and just listen to the Full Gospel Baptist Church and the anthem. God bless you.
I want us to worship God for just a moment. We talked about one sound. Everybody say one sound. There is a kingdom sound. There is a kingdom sound. Everybody say that. There is a kingdom sound. Say it again. There is a kingdom sound. And I want you to understand this, that there is always a sound that precedes a move of God. Everybody say that. There's always a sound that precedes the move of God. Whenever you will find deliverance, wherever you will find healing, wherever you find a move of God, it is always associated with a sound. I want us to take just maybe 30 seconds, and we're gonna sing this song. We're going to raise it as an offering to the Lord. But I want us to take about maybe just 30 seconds, if you will. Brother, I just want you to minister on that guitar. I want you to raise your hands in his presence, and let's just worship God all over this room. Come on, everybody, let's worship God all over this room. Hallelujah.
Praise God, you just can't get enough for worship. It's so many different versions of the same song that you can worship God in spirit and in truth. I love the Lord. And truly, hallelujah, you are worthy to be king. You know, we thank God for all the different psalmists, all the different selections that we love the Lord. Truly, he's an awesome God. And we thank God that when we are saved, when we have dedicated ourselves, that we have accepted the Lord Jesus into our life, we belong to him. And that's the reassurance that you need today, to know that you belong to God. And we are his beloved. We are created in his image. We thank God for that, that through the birth, through the death and burial, and the resurrection of Christ, that we have eternal life, that truly, hallelujah, you are worthy to be praised. Let us listen to William McDowell at this time, that I belong to you. Yes, we do. We belong to God, and he belongs to us. Amen. as the songwriter sings that I belong to you. You know, listening to that song, I think about the disciples, how they gave up everything, including family, to follow Jesus, that they made up their mind right then and there that I belong to God. You know, you have to come to a place in your life to make a decision that for God I live, for God I die, that you belong to God. You know, that you have to have him on your mind 24 hours a day, really, and to believe him in his word and his promises and to live your life according to the gospel that was left here by Jesus Christ for us to know a better way. You know, Christ loved us so much that when he walked that that road of Damascus, when he walked on the Sea of Galilee, and even when he walked to his death, he did it for us, that he belongs to us and we belong to him. Can you imagine the faith of those disciples that they just left their jobs, they left their family, they made the ultimate sacrifice to let it all go, all the materialistic things that they had. I'm sure they owned boats or homes or whatever it could be, but they followed God in absolute surrender to him. It's such a beautiful thing. And this brings us to our story today. Listening to another minister who brought thought to the attention of the scripture, and Minister Gray, we listened to him this morning from 8:30 to 9, and truly it was beautiful. It was about Matthew 14, verses 25 through 31. We thank God for Reverend Reed and Jeremiah Speaks that has teamed up with us to expound the word of God and to usher you into God's presence. You know, it says it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a whole group of people to just be on one accord and to work for a cause. And as the disciples traveled with Jesus to learn more of him and his gospel and to get souls saved so that we could have a better way, it was truly a sacrifice. So my title today of the message is Walking on the Sea of Galilee. Again, it's going to be Walking on the Sea of Galilee, looking at Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 31. That as a believer, and I'll ask you this question, as a believer, are you ready to walk on the Sea of Galilee? Because when you get to a point in your life that God, for you I live, for you I die, that you turn it all over to him to know that he can do anything but fail. You know, our story starts out that Jesus heard the sad news that John the Baptist had died in his ministry, healing people, feeding people. But this news came to him at a time when he was in the midst of being about his father's business. You know, a lot of people look at the servants of God, the leaders of God, the pastors of God, the ministers of God, and they put them on such a status quo that sometimes they forget that they're human, that, yes, they cry, they have setbacks, sometimes they get disappointed, they get fearful, and that there's only one perfect man on this earth, one perfect person, and that is Jesus, the Christ himself, our Lord and Savior. You know, so there are times in our life that even through the storms of life that we have to go forward, that we have to press our way. We have to be about our Father's business. If we lose a job, we still got to preach the gospel. If we can't eat, we have to preach the gospel. You know, we hear about death in the family. We have to be about our Father's business and preach the gospel because we have a commission, a mandate to serve God. like the disciples, by any means necessary, the job got to be done. And here Jesus, you know, he had just heard the sad news of someone that recognized him in his ministry, someone that gave him a good report, someone that was humble and believed in the work that God had sent him to do. That was John the Baptist. You know, so many times as leaders that it means a lot when you get a hug or you get a word of encouragement or you can have someone to believe in that God has sent you or is using you to be about a good work. And with John, it was a special relationship with him and Jesus that during his early part of his ministry that he came to sit with John. And there on the banks of the waters, he was right there, even with his first miracle, and God spoke and said, "This is my beloved son." You know, John was close enough to him that he recognized God. Ooh, hallelujah. That even here in the news, it says that even Jesus wept when he heard the death about Lazarus. It says that even Jesus heard the death about John the Baptist. He felt those human emotions. He felt that void as a human being. You know, when we hear about someone die, like mom or grandma or a good friend, that, you know, there's a void. However, that he had to be, too, about his father's business. Can you imagine that here you have the weight of the world that's on you, and you're going about being on this commission from God the Father, and that you have chosen to follow God, and you are his son. That big responsibility that as a disciple, as that even with clergy today, as a pastor, people don't know behind the closed doors the troubles that they feel, the pain that they feel, the tears that they shed. But the love of God, hey, hallelujah, that pushes them to their destiny, their purpose, their calling God. Jesus was the same way. When he heard the sad news, the people was gathered around him. They didn't want to see the tears. Some of them was hungry. They didn't want to know that he was sad. You know, they needed healing. There were so many people, a multitude of people around them. Guess what he did? He didn't stop to cry. He didn't stop to ball up in a knot. Hey, hallelujah. He didn't just say, "Look, I don't have time right now. I'm going through my own issues with my own problems. I don't have time for you." No, he was about his father's business. He kept a good faith and kept a good work of doing what he was commissioned to do by God the Father. Hallelujah. Jesus, after he did the things that he was commissioned to do, to give people hope, to even give them bread, that he sent the people away as he went to the mountaintop, as he finished what he needed to do. And there I'm sure that he was reflecting on a man who had shown him love, compassion, and respect. You know, it's a very, and I can speak from experience, it's a very few that a lot of people say that they recognize the call on your life and they cheer with you, but a lot of times behind your back, they don't believe even that God called you because you're different or you are, or you may go in different directions. You don't fit the mold. Jesus didn't fit the mold. He didn't come in like they thought the priestly scribes should come in. He wasn't in the marketplace yelling out a prayer to be seen. He wasn't in an edifice and sitting behind a podium. He was out on the road getting his feet dirty. As we say, getting his hand dirty. He was about evangelism and ministry. There's nothing wrong with that if that's what God has given you to do, to be in a place of worship, but be there with the right intention that is God's house, it's not yours. Be about the charge that he has given you to govern his sheep. And Jesus as he walked that road, as he was alone in that mountaintop, that the disciples wanted to follow him. That's one thing about a leader. No matter how much you try to retire, to get away to a quiet place, to mind your own business, there's someone that's going to knock at the door. There's someone that's going to call, someone that's going to tug at you. Because they see the God that's in you. They feel the anointing that's on your life, and they want to be a part and to be more of it. Hey, hallelujah. And the disciples was on that boat, and they followed Jesus. He couldn't even moan. He couldn't groan. He couldn't have a time of sorrow to himself. He just heard the news. He just fed 5,000. He just healed those that was afflicted and sick. And he just wanted a little time. How many times that you just want to get away? Shut your door. Put the covers over your head. Go down in the basement. Go to a quiet place. Go out in the woods, in the forest somewhere. Go by the lake or the water. Take a ride and just exhale. And just breathe. Because sometimes you're tired. You know, I'm picking up different ones now. I can feel you on the phone. That sometimes you've been exhausted, you've been tired. The cares of this world, of family, of your mom, dad, your job, the political office that you hold, the responsibility of being a teacher, just being a head of a particular, even a corporation, that there are those that depend on you to keep it together. Lord, have mercy. And you get tired. You get worn out. There are times that you want to get burnt out, but you can't. You got mouths to feed. You have responsibility, even to yourself. Sure, you may not be married or have kids, but you still have to eat and work by the sweat of your brow to take care of yourself, to have a roof over your head. You can't live forever, you know, not being able to be a supplier of yourself. You have to love yourself, hug yourself, get up. And tell yourself, you got to push on. Jesus was the same way. He had to go and be about his father's business. Maybe that should have been a title, be about your father's business. And doing so, as I said before, he didn't have that hiding place, that secret place where he could just breathe every time, even when he had 40 days in the wilderness. Here comes Satan trying to tempt him and uproot the focus that he had on doing a work for God. Good God Almighty. He's just gone up to a mountaintop just to take a little breather. And here come the disciples howling out from the boat, Jesus, wait for me. I'm coming, Jesus. Don't leave me. So many people pull at you, especially moms. The children pull at you. The husband pull at you. The husband, the wife pull at you. The boss pull at you. Everybody be pulling at you, good God Almighty. But the strength and the character and the love of God, he made his way, the mercy seat, the compassion of a good father. He went to the disciples to see, what is the problem? What's going on? Why do you need me? Have you not traveled with me? Did you not eat with me? Did you not sup with me? Have you not walked the road with me? Didn't you give up everything to follow me? What do you want now? Have I not shown you a better way? Have I not given you the word and shown you miracle signs and wonders? Have I not showed you the victory in prayer? Have I not healed your body and other bodies? Have I not did the miraculous? Crack open the sky, woke you up in your right mind, and now I'm giving the word to come out on radio and TV and the internet. How much do you need to know that God got you? He's with you. He loves you. You is beloved. That's my way of saying it. But, say it again, with all of that, all of those examples, all of those illustrations, demonstrations that God is, he walked over to the boat on the water. And there was one, Peter, was crying out, asking God, can I come with you? You know, it's when I read that story, it was kind of funny. He was asking Jesus, could he come off the boat and come and walk on the sea to be with Jesus? But yet he had a condition. Isn't it ironic sometimes? God, I follow you, but, you know, I got to get some things together first. You know, God, I would go to church, but, you know, I got to get myself together, get some better clothes. You know, God, you know, I'm going to put this down or put that down. Just give me a little more time. It's always a condition. You know, what is the stumbling block that would keep us from going all the way with God? In this situation, Peter asked, he was the one that said, God, use me. God, make me the pastor. God, make me the leader. It's a God, I preach a gospel. God, send me around the world. You know, God, give me an edifice. He wanted all these things, I'm sure. And when he had his opportunity, that Jesus said, okay, you ready for this? All right, then get off the boat. And he said, and I'm saying in my way so that you can understand it a little bit better, that Peter decided that he was going to walk on the sea with Jesus. And in doing so, he looked around. He said, oh, my God, look at the wind. Look at the roaring, the waves of the ocean. So many times we want to do things until we actually do it. And we want to be a pastor, but then we get overwhelmed with the sheep. You know, we want to go around the world, but we get scared of being on a plane. I can speak for myself. You know, we want to be in leadership, but can we really handle responsibility with those sleepless nights? We want to be in so many charge of committees and all, but do we really want the headaches? It costs you something. It costs you not only to keep your eyes focused on God, but also to show you your character. Do you have that tenacity? Do you have the strength? Can you be encouraged when the wind blows? When, as people say, when your money start looking funny, when look like all hell is breaking loose, when death angels is all around you, when your body gets sick and ache with pain, can you still follow God? Good God Almighty. Jesus told Peter, come on. You want to come with me? Come on then. Just go ahead, get off the boat. And as I said earlier, it's always a condition. You know, Peter asked to come out the boat so he could follow God. But it was funny when you looked at this right here in the scripture, it says that he asked Jesus the question to come off the boat. Let me see here. It says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, verse 30, he was afraid and he was beginning to sink and he cried out to God. But it's funny, though, that before that time, he asked Jesus, is that you, God? How can you want to follow something, but then you're not sure if it's God? How can you say God told you to preach, but then you doubt yourself? Was that really his voice? How can you say that God told you to build a church, and then you get halfway around the road? I wonder, is this what God really want me to do? How can you say that you want to be about your father's business, but then when the road get rocky, you back. You get fearful. You put doubt in it. You question yourself. And like Peter, sometimes you even question your own self. You become double-minded. And you don't have your eyes focused like it should be. You know, you put all those barriers in your way. I'm thinking about this thing because I could imagine that Peter loved Jesus. And he wanted to follow him, and God gave him the opportunity. But when it got rough, got a little rocky, it didn't fit the norm. How many times did people say, oh, that's a religious fanatic? How many times you had to give up some things that you didn't want to give up because you had to follow God, or stop some things that you didn't want to stop because you had to be about your father's business? Peter, he got fearful when he realized that he asked God to take him out on the deep. Hey, hallelujah. But when he went out on the deep, he couldn't handle what he asked God for. We ask God all the time for a lot of stuff. Give me that husband. And it may not work out right. Give me that wife. it don't work out right. There are some conditions before all of that happened. Peter had an opportunity to walk with God, to talk with God, to get to know God, to know his word, but he still had that doubt inside of him. You have a chance to be in certain situation, but you have to study, do your research, have a made-up mind, be determined. You know, I was listening to my apostle and pastor, Apostle Anthony T. Mays. He said, let this mind be in you that's in Christ. You have to have a made-up mind that, okay, for God I live, for God I die, that you got to go all the way regardless what time that the trouble could come at you. If you say you want to be married, then you have to work towards those things that will make that marriage work. You say you want to be a husband, then you have to be a responsible head to your family and show leadership. You want to be a wife, then you need to know how to raise your kids and help take care of your husband and be a helpmeet. If you want to be a servant of God, then you have to be able to sacrifice, go all the way. There are times you may not eat. There are times you may not have money. There are times you may not be able to do certain things, but your servants is the most important thing, how you serve God's people. And the commission that he has given you is what's important. That's the measuring stick right there. You know, God knows the heart of Peter. He saw him that he was troubled even before he got out the boat. God knows what you're going through. He know the doubt that you have. This is why he walked with us and talked with us and showed us that he know how to feel as a human being. He know we're going to sway sometime, go to the left, go to the right. But he believed in us so much that he gave us the opportunity and said, look, I'm going to call you to the ministry. I'm going to call you to fivefold. Ephesians 4:11-17, if you want to know what it is. I'm going to call you to be that pastor. I'm going to call you to be that leader. I'm going to call you to be that teacher, or I'm going to call you to be that mother, that father. You have a responsibility, but I believe in you that you're able to do this thing. You're able to walk on the Sea of Galilee, meaning you're able to walk by faith. Yes, you're going to cry out sometimes. Yes, you're going to fearful sometimes. Yes, you are going to be afraid sometimes. But you have to believe. Peter had nerve enough in we're looking at chapter 14, verses 28. And it says here in verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. How can you call out and tell God you want to do something, but then you turn around and question, if it's you, Lord, give me a sign. If this is what you want me to do, let me know that I know that I know. Why you ask for it in the beginning if you're not going to believe it by faith? Hey, hallelujah. You got to be able to walk on the water. You just say, God, here am I. You know, many a times that people ask me, why do I do some of the ministry things that I do? Because I go by faith. I said, well, God, if this is what you want, I'm like you. I said, God, I'm going to go by faith. I just open up my heart and my spirit. I'm not perfect. I doubt too. Sometimes I wonder. But I put all that behind me, put my little tail between my legs, and I said, hold my head down real humble. I said, God, you make a way, I'm going. And I trust God, you know. It is hard, especially when you have a ministry that it takes you around the world. You got to be in a plane 9 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours. But you have to be about your Father's business. If you want to do a work for God, then you have to do the work. You say this is what you want to do, you're going to get laughed at, like Jesus. You're going to get criticized, like Jesus. You're going to get ridiculed, like Jesus. They're going to call you crazy, call you a false prophet, call that you're not even a son of daughter of God. They're going to do all of that. They did it to Jesus. He was trying to show you this is the road that you choose. You want to walk on the water, you want to walk on the Sea of Galilee, then here it is. Expect this right here. Peter said, if it be you, God bid me to come. He is asking you to come. He asked all of us to come. Come into a plan of salvation, of repentance. This is what he asking us to do. Come out to the deep. Hey, hallelujah. You have to come out on faith, and then you can really receive the blessings the directions and the miracle signs and wonders of God will follow them that believe. You can't have no doubt. You know, I was watching Apostle yesterday. I was at a church service yesterday. And he believed it so that he just told a lady, get up. He told a limb, just grow. And it grew. I just got back from Jamaica. And a shout out to Apostle Mears. That here's a man that was drinking water. A lady came in crippled. He was drinking water. He blessed the water and threw it on and said, get up and walk. And she ran around the church. You have to have that kind of faith. You can't have doubt in it. God said it. You got to believe it. You got to trust it at his word. See, a lot of times people get hung up in denomination, hung up in tradition. Well, it's done this way. Well, it's said this way. I deliberately played that song a couple of times because I want you to hear the different version. That was rap. I knew it was rap, but it was Christian rap. There was different lyrics of a jazz type of persuasion. It was Christian gospel, and it was contemporary. You got to get to the point of not being so judgmental that you just have to say, God, here am I. Can't have no doubt in it, no fear in it. You have to be open to the move of God. When you are open, you can walk on that water. When you are open, you can walk out on faith. When you are open, you're able to sup with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will come in and overshadow you, and you won't sink in the deep of doubt. You know, you look at this thing, and it says here that you can't be of little faith. It says in verse 31, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? Wherefore did you doubt God? Did not, he said he come to fulfill. He came to fulfill what God commissioned him to do. He did his job. He came to this earth. He showed us a better way. He left a blueprint for living. We have the commandments. We have the Bible. We have technology. We have everything that we need to have eternal life. So he's saying to us, are we going to walk out now in faith? Can we walk on the waters of Galilee? Can we trust him at his word? So we don't sink. A lot of times we sink because we put our own mindset in it. A lot of times we don't keep our eyes focused on God. I want to stop right here because sometimes I get caught up when I talk about the Father and Jesus. I can just go on and on and on about even with the Holy Spirit. I love the Lord. But, you know, I was reading another story, was talking about talents, you know, where God in Matthew 25, he was talking about the talents that God gives you. That in this particular text, what they were talking about, you have to multiply what was given to you. That, you know, God gave you a voice to sing, then you give it your best from your heart, and you sing, you know, like a bird, you know, sing like an angel, you know. This is why you see so many talented people, that they put their whole heart, soul, their passion into it. Peter lost sight of the very person, the man that has been with him the whole time. We can't lose sight of God as Christians. We can't lose sight of our commission. We got to get out on a boat and move by faith. We can't let our emotion control us to the point we put doubt in it. You know, I remember one time when I started out in ministry, they would say, you don't have a ministry, you by yourself. God had to remind me, there's people in the Bible that walk by themselves, including Paul, and then Elisha and those that wanted to follow them. Even Moses was laughed at and criticized, including Noah, that God will use you to do the work that he has sent you to do, and then he can add on followers. But first he got to deal with you. You got to be sure that your eyes is focused, that you're able to do the impossible by the faith and the grace of God. Woo, hallelujah. So I'm going to stop right here because I just want to say to you that it's working for you. When you believe, and don't let your unbelief depart from you, you know, disbelief depart from you. You know, when you look at Hebrews 3 and 12, when you love the Lord, you can't be, you know, dealing with disbelief. I'm taking my time today because I'm slowing down. I know sometimes that other nations are listening and there's interpreter who have to translate what I'm saying. But I want to say to the nations around this world that God is able, that he is the Alpha and Omega, that he is the beginning and end. He can do anything but fail. You just cannot take your eyes. It's like a track runner off the prize. You got to take that baton and race down that field and just believe it, that you can make it to the winning line. You trust God. You trust him at his word. You trust him at his promises. And even look at Jeremiah 29:11, when he says that in so many words, he knows that he has a plan for you, a plan to give you peace for your future and hope. You just got to believe him at his word. He can do anything but fail. You just got to trust him. So I'm going to play this song right now because I use music as a part of the ministry to glorify God, and I get carried away sometimes. I have to slow down. But I just want to tell you that today is your breakthrough. Today is your miracle. Today you can get out of the boat and walk on the Sea of Galilee when you love the Lord and you trust him, and there is no doubt. We all go through it. We just human beings. But we're made in the image of God, and he breathed breath into our body. We can call on our Father. We can call on our Papa, our Dad, our Father, Elohim, Alpha and Omega, Jehovah, Raphael. We could call on the great God himself, I am that I am. He sent his Son so that we could have eternal life. He sent his Holy Spirit to give us comfort. Good God Almighty. Can you imagine the Spirit that moved over the earth, that made heaven and earth? Hey, the Spirit that divided the waters. Good God Almighty. The Spirit in the cool of the day that walked with God. That same Spirit is dwelling with us and inside of us, that we have the grace, the mercy, and the favor of God, that we are his beloved. We are the children of God. He's your dad. You just got to stretch out your hand and believe it. Get off the boat and say, God, I'm going to walk with you, talk with you, trust you at your word. You know why? Because it's your season. Matter of fact, I want to hear that song, It's Your Season. I told you I get carried away when I talk about the Lord, and I always say I'm not a preacher, I'm a teacher. But let us listen to William Murphy, It's Working. Amen. And God bless you. You know, the songwriter said, this is my season for grace and for favor. Yes, it is. When you keep your eyes on God and when you believe him at his word and his promises and when you live the best that you can repentantly and you look at that person in the mirror each and every day and try to do the best that you can humbly before God, hey, that you have his mercy, his grace, and his favor. I once wrote a poem, and I have a book out. It's called Guidebook for Church Leaders and Officers. And again, it's called Guidebook for Church Leaders and Officers. And it's on the internet if you'd like to look it up. And I call this poem, Let God Do the Driving. In other words, we need to let go and let God. And it says here, as we travel the road of life, we enter many U-turns in our destiny. Remember, when the road becomes bumpy and you fret, know that God is doing the driving. In other words, you got to let go and let God. Peter got to the point that when he was out there, he let go because he got afraid. Who wouldn't be afraid that you want to do something when you get out there on the deep and you go, oh, my God, you know, here I am. I'm out here now. But God was so merciful and kind that he extended his hand and he pulled Peter up to safety. You know, our God will rescue us when we do the best that we can. And when we turn it over to him, and that when we know that God loves us and that he loves us so much, we will never be lost and we will never be let down when we touch the hem of his garment. God understands our pain. He understood the fear that Peter was going through. So what he did, he extended himself and he grabbed hold of him. Again, to safety. At all that he was going through, grieving, you know, in so many words of John the Baptist, looking at the multitude, I'm sure some of them was hanging by the shore, still want a little bit more of Jesus. And the other was on a boat hollering out, Jesus, Jesus. Had no rest for the worry. However, God of love, compassion, and mercy, he extended his hand. He's extending his hand to you. Because he loves you. He has me on this radio each. It was each week, but it's every day now. So that to tell you that he's able. Yes, he's going to crack open the sky. He is coming back. So we want to get ready. We know we're not perfect. We know we got that snotty nose that need to be wiped. Our nose is running, and we might have all types of germs and colds. But we want God to heal us. Hey, hallelujah. Of all infirmities, of all doubt, of all setbacks, all backslidness, when we have slid back into our old habits and old ways. God don't condemn. He don't judge. He don't point fingers. You know, he won't chalk it up so you hear about it the rest of your life. He give you an opportunity to repent and to change because he love you. You his beloved. So I want to just play a little bit, just a little bit, that we never lost by CC Wine. And again, as I say to you, I love to use music as a part of a ministry to just help you to just go in with me to the intercourse and to worship God and to just relax as we understand the purpose for our lives in God because he loves you. Amen. writer says that we know that God is able. I just want to tell you to stay encouraged, to trust God at his word. He's able to do anything but fail. And he loves you so much. He has proven himself. He's died on a cross, and he's still with us even today through his Holy Spirit. And I would say to all of you, if you don't know him, just know him in a pardon of your sin. Just say a special quiet prayer to him and let him come into your heart to save your soul. So God bless you again. You've been listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer, as we leave out listening to He's Able by Dietrich Hatton. Have a beautiful day in the Lord. Amen.
What more will he do with him that believes and knows?